like now to introduce Dr. Devan Gamadesai. He is the editor of the Journal of the Asiatic Society of Bombay and Associate of Bombay University. And she tells me she's also editing books on World Heritage Sites in India for Oxford University Press. So,
thanks. Kajurao, I think most of you know your name.
Yes, speaking of textual tradition and the temples of Kajurao.
Kajurao flourished under the Chandela Rajput dynasty between 10th and 12th centuries, and highly evolved and refined temples were built here by the royal family and Jain merchants. And we examine here these magnificent temples to see how their art and architecture are linked up with the textual tradition, both Vastu texts and the religious texts, such as the Puranas, the Shaivagamas, and Pancharatras, dealing with rituals and religious action. The site turned into a great temple town from about the middle of the 10th century, and there are 25 temples that have now that survive now out of the traditional 85 built in the area of about 13 square kilometers. And in addition, there are 50 mounds which the archaeological survey have identified, and actually they've identified 18 mounds for excavation, but have actually dealt with only two mounds, partially exposed only two mounds, which contain architectural remains of temples. And the top temples occupy, you see here the aerial view, the Lakshmana temple, which is dedicated to Vishnu, Vaikuntha, associated with Pancharatra system, and the Kandariya Mahadev, which we will, both of these temples we will be referring to in this lecture. And this is the aerial view. You can see how Shiva and Vishnu temples stand near each other. And you can see here, the temples are divided into three zones. The western zone near the Shiv Sagar tank, where the royal family built temples, the Lakshmana, Kandariya, and other temples, the Varaha temple there. Then in the eastern zone near Kharjur Sagar Lake, Jain merchants built temples, the Parshvanath, Adinath, and other temples. And in the southern zone near the Khuda Rivulet, there are both Shiva and Vishnu temples. And recently, this temple has been exposed here, the Bija Mandal Mound, which is a Vaidyanatha temple originally. We get accounts of Khajuraho in 1335 by Ibn Battuta, and in 1838 by Captain Burt, who has given a very colorful report of these temples, and then later Major Cunningham in his Archaeological Survey of India has described in detail the temples. The Lakshmana temple or the Vaikuntha temple, it enshrines this image of Vishnu, the composite image of Vishnu as Vaikuntha, which is an esoteric form, and it was worshipped by the followers of the Pancharatra of the Kashmir school. And therefore, this Pancharatra text, which we study, help us in the iconic studying the iconic scheme of the temple. The patrons. By mid 10th century, the Chandela family became powerful and amassed wealth and ruled vast territory called Jejakabukti. About 66 inscriptions of this dynasty have been found in Khajuraho. Three large inscriptions in Sanskrit language have been found. And they patronized not only the temples, but also encouraged poetry, drama, dance, and music. And they were rasikas, connoisseurs of art. Two of the rulers were themselves poets. And court culture and sophisticated ethos is reflected in the art of Khajuraho temples. And on the right we see, on the right we see a maiden, Naika, with a manuscript in hand. She's speaking some gesture to explain it. So the temples were constructed in the Nagara style of architecture, which is an elegant style. Architects followed the Vishwakarma school of Vastu Shastra, to which I'll be shortly coming to, and the religious texts such as the Purana, Shaivagamas and Pancharatras influenced the placement of images in temples. Now it may be noted that the religious systems associated with these major temples were concerned not only with theology and yoga, not only with the doctrinal aspects, but also with the practical side of religion. They have a Kriyapada section dealing with the building of temples and the making of images and with the performing of the rituals. Knowledge of puja and vidhis is necessary for the temple builder for creating space in the structure and for sthana nirnaya or placement of images. So for this reason, we also get information from these texts when studying these temples. Now this is the Vishwanatha temple of Khajuraho, which was built in AD 999 by the Chandela king Danga. And it has an inscription in embellished Sanskrit language full with puns. Each of its verse has double meanings. And this temple, the inscription mentions its architect Shichcha. And it is also mentioned there that he was well versed in the Vishwakarma Shastra. So the inscription mentions the association of the temple's architect with this Vastu text of Vishwakarma. And here, this is the terminology on the right. We see this Vastu Shastra terminology of the Khajuraho temple. Each part from the ground level, from the Jagati platform up to the spire, it has its name from the Vastu text. Next, please. Oh, sorry. Because I'm used to that. I'm used to that. Not to this. Okay. Now, Kandariya Mahadev temple, it is a Lofsi Shikhara spire with 84 turrets or mini shikharas, these. And here in the text called Shilpa Ratnakara, you get a type of shikhara called of the Airavata temple with 85 turrets. So here there are 84 plus 1, that is 85 turrets, and here there are this temple, Airavata temple. So there is resemblance with the Vastu terminology and the Vastu text. Now, door of the temple. We have from the time of Brihat Samhita and Vastu texts, prescription of auspicious motifs to be depicted on door gems of the temple. Parul mentioned about the Lalata Bimba, this part where the main divinity is always depicted. In her case, it was Durga Shemankari. In this case, it is Vishnu's consort Lakshmi who is depicted on this. But on the door gem, generally auspicious motifs are depicted. But here, there are some special depictions. There are avatars of Vishnu which are depicted: Matsya, Kurma, fish and tortoise, Varaha, Narsimha, Vaman, Parshuram. And this prescription you find in the Pancharatra text, Hayashesha Pancharatra. So that has helped us to study the door of these temples. And the worship of the divinities of the door, Dwara Devatas, is advocated in the religious texts such as the Jayakya Samhita, Hayashiksha Pancharatra, Lakshmi Tantra, which Dr. Sayuka Gupta has edited and translated, Agni Purana, Ishana Shiva Gurudeva Paddhati, and others. These texts provide krama or successive order of the worship, giving mantras for worship of the threshold divinities, followed by the mantras for worship of the river goddesses who are stationed there, and Dwarapalas, the doorkeepers. And we see these figures represented at the entrance of Khajuraho temples, this temple as well as other Shiva and even Jain temples. Auspicious Mithunas or couples were decorated the door of the Indian temple since 4th 5th century AD, and for that we have prescriptions in the text. Khajuraho architects placed couples on doors. They also placed them on the walls, plinth, and other places, but they have assigned a special place to erotic figures on the juncture walls joining the hall and the sanctum of the temple, as we will see in the next slide. And for this, I could not find any textual prescription of placing figures in conjunction on the juncture walls. But they have specially made the distinction between the Sandhara temples with inner pradakshina. There is inner pradakshina here. These are the Sandhara temples, and this is the Nirandhara temple without inner pradakshina. So they have made this distinction, and here if you see two squares overlap on the part which joins the juncture of the hall, Mahamandapa, and the sanctum. On this portion, which can be taken from the side of the hall as well as side of the sanctum, they have placed figures in conjunction on the Sandhi Kshetra. And they have made puns and used double meaning language, and I won't go into detail of this. That requires a set of different slides. But I just want to point out that they have made this distinction of placement of figures in conjunction on the Sandhara temples and the Nirandhara temples. And that we can see here, this is a Nirandhara temple without inner pradakshina, the Vaman temple, and here they put divinities in niches. Whereas on the Vishwanatha temple, this which is a Sandhara temple, they put these erotic figures or figures in conjunction. And there are also head down poses on two of these temples, two Shiva temples, the Vishwanatha temple as well as the Kandariya Mahadev. And while drawing the lines on their photographic reproductions, the geometry in their compositional scheme reminded me of the Kamakala Yantra of the Orissan text Shilpa Prakasham. According to this text, this was a protective yantra, the lines of which were to be concealed from non-initiates by placing erotic figures. That is, the figures, the Mithunamurtis, they are supposed to conceal the lines of the yantra so that the non-initiates can only see the erotic figures, and which would in turn give them delight. The figures would be for delight to people, as this text says. And based on this observation, we can say that the erotic figures and the yantra that they seem to conceal were believed to magically protect the building against obstacles. So there are multiple functions of sexual symbolism, and I won't go into detail here. And I think there is a paper by Dr. David Smith on the erotic figures, mainly dealing with Khajuraho. The two prominent motifs of Khajuraho, Apsara or celestial female, and Vyalas or griffins. Now, different types of Vyalas or griffins are described in Vastu texts. I think we saw some of them in Parul's slides of the Jagat temple. The Aparajita Pritcha, the text, it creates 16 into 16, that is 256 varieties of Vyalas by permutation and combinations of heads and bodies of different animals and birds. And this is helpful in looking at the varieties of vyalas of the Khajuraho temples. And regarding the motif of Apsara or celestial maiden, the Vastu texts such as the Orissan Shilpa Prakasha and the Western Indian text Shirarnava give detailed classifications of 16 and 32 types respectively, along with their descriptions, such as Darpana holding a mirror, Nupura Padika, as you see here, tying ankle bells, Patralekha writing a letter, and so on. This typology helps us to name some of the Apsaras of the Khajuraho temples. But however, there is a noteworthy theme much favored by the Khajuraho artists, namely the female figure with a scorpion on her leg, which is not found or listed in any of the textual classification of the Apsara. And that is, I think, an invention of the Khajuraho artists, though later it is found at other places also. The Orissan text Shilpa Prakasha says that it gives 16 types of Apsaras or Alasa Kanyas, such as Nupura Padika and others, and it stays, which is important to, and I will read out, it stays as a house without a wife, as frolic without a woman. So without a figure of a woman, the monument will be of inferior quality and bear no fruit. So the artists, they take it, this prescription is important, and they have shown Apsaras on the temple walls. You will find them in most of the temples built in Nagar style and also in the Dravida style of architecture. Now there are divinities holding manuscripts in hand. You see these texts they are holding. They are handsome figures with jata, and they have different vahanas or mounts. There is a Hansa Mahana, goose. There is a Ram Vahana or mount. And these were not earlier identified. There are six of them along with Surya encircling the Lakshmana or Vaikuntha temple, like these. These six divinities, they were not identified, but on the basis of one of them having the frog mount, this one, I could identify this as planet Shukra, because when I looked up the iconography of the Prajapatis, Dikpalas and other mythological figures, nothing could fit in with these divinities and the mounts which they are having. So it is the frog as the Vahana which gave me a clue to the figure being the planet Shukra or Venus. For frog is a mount of planet Shukra in the sculptural depictions of Central and Eastern India. There are panels showing in Navagrahas, there are panels with Shukra shown as with frog mount. And also in the textual tradition of the Western Indian texts Aparajita Pritcha and Rupa Mandana. So if the figure with the frog mount represents Shukra, the rest of the six figures and Surya, being group of collective divinities, would also represent the other grahas of planetary divinities. And what is important is, this is how they are placed. There is Ganesh there, Durga there, Surya here, and those are the six divinities which were not earlier identified. But these divinities, these are the planetary divinities, they are all, this is the place on the plinth of the temple. So they are almost encircling the temple. And this is as if they are forming a graha mandala around the temple. And further, of great significance is this imagery of the grahas encircling the temple, for it makes the temple image as Mount Meru, the cosmic mountain in the center of the universe, around which the planets revolve. I mean, even if you open a dictionary, you will see Meru, around which the planets revolve. So this is a cosmic imagery which we would miss if we do not have knowledge of iconography in order to identify the images and see their configuration in the temple scheme and perceive the intimacy of the sutradhara's or artist's ideas and the visualization into his design of the temple. Now, architects, according to the Samarangana Sutradhara, they were supposed to be well-versed in mathematics, astronomy, astrology, philosophy, arts, etc. But it is also possible that they were guided by gurus or acharyas, particularly in matters of placement of images, sthana nirnaya, and in requirements of temple worship. In my paper, I have given some textual and also epigraphical evidence on this point. And a very significant sculptural depiction is recent, panel is recently excavated from the Bijamandal mound of Khajuraho, one of the mounds recently exposed by the archaeological survey. And here you see on this an acharya seated with a manuscript in hand. There is a scribe or writer, and there are these artisans holding an object. So it seems that he is giving instructions to the writer here, the acharya. There are sculptural representations of the acharyas here again, holding a manuscript in hand. And this one, Acharya Someshwara Bhattaraka, this one is inscribed. There is an inscription there, though his head is not there. You can imagine sitting in yoga position, very straight, body position. And such acharyas were revered at Khajuraho. And there is Acharya Urdhva Shiva. His name is inscribed here on this stone sculpture. His name Urdhva Shiva suggests his affiliation to the Shaiva system, and he installed this extraordinary image of the four-legged or Chatushpada Sadashiva. This image is now in the Khajuraho Museum. And by way of a pun, Chatushpada, which means 4 feet, padas, and which also suggests 4 parts of a treatise, like Jnanapada, knowledge, Charyapada, conduct or daily rituals, Kriyapada, activities, methods of worship, and Yogapada, meditation, etc. So Acharya Urdhva Shiva installed this image, and which suggests of the Shaiva system. Now, I just gave very briefly of the Shaiva system, because I think in iconic scheme, in the images, there is this influence of the system. The concept of far-reaching importance in the religious system of the period was that of the emanation or emission of cosmic elements, tattvas, from the Supreme Being in the process of creation of the universe and their reabsorption to the primordial center in the process of dissolution. There is a hierarchy of cosmic elements or divinities, one emanating from the other, previous one, as in a chain, from the formless Supreme Being to the earth element in the evolution process and the return to the primordial center in the process of dissolution. And there is this doctrinal unfolding which has been noticed by scholars, Professor Stella Krembrich and Doris Srinivasan. In some well-planned Shiva temples of early India, they have noticed this doctrinal unfolding at 3 levels. Shiva as Shiva Linga, as representing the unmanifest, the formless aspect of Shiva, avyakta, manifest, unmanifest, vyakta-vyakta, or sakala-nishkala, sadashiva. This is another Sadashiva image. We saw one four-footed image, this is the other one, in the Kandariya Mahadev temple, and Shiva as Mahesha in his various forms, about 26 Leela Murtis as Mahesha, Shiva as dancer, as bridegroom, Shiva vanquishing demons, etc. So this is the third aspect of Shiva. So there is this hierarchy. And in addition, we also find in the Kandarya Mahadev other manifestations also, the still lesser manifestations of the Shiva Taiga Pantheon in the hundreds of images of Shiva which are on the exterior wall of the temples. Now, Shivalinga in the sanctum, which is Shivalinga in the Chandela inscription, is described as Jagataha Moola Stambha, the primordial pillar of the universe, and it is installed exactly in the center of the Garbhagruha, and above it is the spire, finium, and there is this cosmic axis, if you join the line, from the ground level to the finial, Akasha, the sky. So this vertical axis is the cosmic axis. And the nucleus of the Garbhagruha is crucial, like the bindu at the center of the yantra. And it can be compared to a spider, which is linked to different parts in its web. And the well-known simile of Brahman, the ultimate reality, likened to a spider in the Upanishadic and Puranic literature, helps us to understand the notion of the potential all point. The spider emits and reabsorbs threads from his body. Similarly, all the different parts of the web are interconnected. And similarly, the nucleus of the Garbhagruha is the metaphysical and physical center of the temple, and it is on this center of energy that the linga is installed. And images of Shaiva hierarchy, they are arrange in relation to the linga. So the unfoldment from the central principle can be seen in the form of evolutes or manifested images which are placed hierarchically in relation to the center. And the centrifugal movement radiates in four cardinal directions in the temple in the form of the images. I think Adam Hardy is also going to speak something of that point. We see images of Sadashiva manifest, unmanifest in the hall. Mahesha's different forms are Leela Murtis and Rudra, and similar and still lesser Anshas of factions in the rank of Shaiva hierarchy. Now, on rituals and temple space, I have quoted from Richard Davis, who has worked on various Shaiva, I quoted in my paper on various Shaiva rituals, recorded in medieval texts and actually performed as aids to worshipper in bridging the distance between the transcendent, formless, unmanifest Shiva and the graded manifestations. Davis says that the temple is an emanated structure unfolding from its center, and space within the temple is organized as a concentric hierarchy with the most exalted areas located at or nearest the center. And to approach the prominent deity in the linga, the worshipper necessarily begins outside the temple walls and gradually approaches the inner sanctum, moving from the periphery to the center of the ritual space, and hence he follows the order of reabsorption. So the temple, with its integrated imagery, is an ordered whole representing the doctrinal unfolding in its graded iconic scheme. Wait, it will be over within that. I think I missed one image. Yeah. The architect of the Kandarya Mahadev temple has meticulously programmed images on the walls of the sanctum. There are 8 dikpalas in the corners. Dikpalas are the regions of space. 8 vasus or astral divinities, 12 vyalas or griffins, 24 mithunas and 36 surasundaris or apsaras and Shiva's manifestations, systematically placed on the 3 walls of the sanctum. You can see this, the way they are placed. The sanctum is conceived as a mandala, consecrated sacred space, in the puja rites performed by the aspirant at the entrance according to the Shaiva religious text Ishana Shiva Guru Deva Padati, and in the Vayavya Samhita of the Shiva Purana. The sanctum of the temple is guarded on eight corners by the Dikpalas or eight directions. Now the positioning of the Dikpalas agrees well with the prescription of the Vastu text like Aparajita Prucha, but their significance can be understood from the ritual text, which advise the ritual for removal of vignas or obstacles from the eight directions and mentally invoking and placing the Dikpalas there to guard against evils, so that evils don't come in. Therefore, they put Dikpalas there. After performing various rites, the aspirant then enters the Garbhagruha Mandala, using the word of the text, Garbhagruha Mandala, that is sanctum in the form of the mandala, as the Ishana Shiva Guru Deva Paddhati states. Now, and this is my last line now. Cave-like and mountain-like, the great Kandarya Mahadev stands majestically. It is not only architecturally magnificent, but it is conceptually remarkable. And to conclude, we have seen the textual and architectural correspondence of Khajuraho temples and examined some of these cultural motifs in relation to Vastu texts. Along with the Vastu text, the role of religious texts in temples' imagery and symbolism is quite significant. Religious texts throw considerable light on the meaning of temple imagery, the hierarchical forms of the unmanifest, the name and form, nama rupa, of the formless, expressing the temple as a model of the cosmos. The Kandarya Mahadev, one of the highly evolved temples of India, can be seen as enacting the drama of cosmic emanation and dissolution conveyed in its iconic scheme as well as in its formal structure. And in my paper, I have referred to Adam Hardy's approach to the temple through the formal structure. Now, staying within the textual tradition of the Vishwakarma school, the architects of Khajuraho have created new images such as four-footed Sadashiva, new configurations like an iconic scheme such as those of planetary divinities placed around the Vishnu Vaikuntha temple, which is thus conceived as Mount Meru, the center of the universe. It seems that the architects, well-versed in the Vishwakarma Vastu tradition, worked in close association with acharyas who had grasped the religious systems affiliated to the Khajuraho temples and who infused meaning into images through their placement in the architectural scheme of the temple. Thank you.
Second time we've heard the notion of puns being associated with architecture. And
I didn't follow.
Puns.
Double meaning language.
And I was just wondering whether this is...
Yeah, there is a pun because you take
yes.
it from both
yes.
the sciences.
Yes.
Michael Meister has pointed out the architectural pun by joining of this sanctum and the Garbhagruha. So that he has. But in addition to that, elsewhere I have dealt with, not in this paper, that there are puns also on figures which are carved on that particular part. You know, it's a Sandhi Kshetra. So from both the sides you can take equally, from the site of the sanctum, from the site of the hall. So on that particular portion, they have made use of double meaning language, Sandhya Bhasha also, which I won't go into detail here, that I've dealt with in my book, The Religious Imagery of Khajuraho. So Sandhya Bhasha as well as Shlesha puns they have used.
So is this to do, is it linked with Leela, the idea of play, or
it is
Leela with the idea of play?
Leela.
So in other words, the temple is a form of play, cosmic play.
I didn't follow Leela.
Not linked with the idea of Leela or play.
No.
But the architect is also, because here in England we have cathedrals often are the architect and the artist will put in little things which are little puns.
That could be.
And that is quite typical, I think.
Yeah. Thank you.
Again, we have to thank Dr. Desai.